What is up, my people? Draft week is officially upon us. I'm John Middlecoff. You're listening to Three and Out Podcast. Thank you for coming. Longtime listeners, appreciate you coming back. For those of you that are newer, welcome. For those of you that listened to the Darius Hayward Bay interview last week, thanks a lot. Enjoyed it. A lot of positive feedback. He was awesome. Very cool interview. This week, I think it's clear. We're going to be talking draft. We're going to be talking draft. And we're going to be talking draft some more. What I think I'm going to do, as of right now, I am going to obviously do this podcast out on Tuesday. I'm probably going to put a podcast out. Maybe, I haven't decided whether I go kind of a smaller one Friday, then another one on Saturday. Might just go one on Saturday. Haven't quite figured that one out. But if there isn't one on Friday, that means one's coming on Saturday. And that's kind of loosely what I'm thinking right now. I'm going to be during the draft on the YouTube channel, Haberman Middlecoff, my other podcast. We're going to be live the whole draft. So you can find me there. I'm doing some stuff with Colin on his other podcast, on The Volume, on Thursday and Friday. So it can be a lot of different places. And we'll just keep swinging our pick. But we're going to have a lot. I'm going to repeat, a lot of content this week. I have some cool things to talk about. I read Bob McGinn. He wrote forever for the paper around the Packers, the Wisconsin Journal or one of those, Milwaukee Sentinel. And he now works for The Athletic. He wrote something on the quarterbacks within the last couple weeks that really stood out to me. The Chiefs made a big trade this weekend. I'm going to do a little mock draft. I'm just going to do the top 10 mock draft on this show. Can't wait. And then, of course, Middlecoff Mailbag, at John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Slide up in those DMs, and you get your question right here on the show. Really, really easy. Also put on my YouTube channel, John Middlecoff. You can find it there as well. I think the Middlecoff Mailbag from last week was YouTube only. So if you didn't hear your question, it's because I didn't read it on the podcast on Friday. It's on the YouTube page. So check that out. Okay, let's dive into the draft. And let's face it, a draft is only as big and as strong as the quarterbacks. And there are five quarterbacks that are going to go in probably the top 10. I think when the dust settles, five quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10. Going 1, 2, 3 has not happened since 1999. It's 2001. It's over 20 years ago. It's a long time. So while quarterbacks, as we've realized in this modern game, are the reason you win or lose, right? If you have a star quarterback or you don't, it's not very often that guys go 1, 2, 3. It's actually basically for 20 plus years has not happened. And I read something in Bob McGinn's article, and his articles are basically talking to scouts, talking to executives, talking to general managers, that is probably the best content that anyone writes during this period of time lead up to the draft. Because it does not matter what the media thinks. It does not matter what the fans think. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, but it doesn't impact who's going to go where. If you want to truly know what guys are thought of in the league, you have to get quotes, and it's mainly coming from anonymous people. That tells you what the league thinks of them. But we have a simple reality on our hand, and it's called quarterback inflation. And right now in America, you don't need to be an econ major from Cal Berkeley to realize we got some inflation going on. As someone who was just DMing back and forth, shooting me different housing listings in the Scottsdale area, places up like 30%. You talk to people all over the country in all different suburbs. The housing market is booming right now. Absolutely out of control. A lot of different factors, right? Cheap to borrow money. People have money. America's literally printing money. And we have an inflation issue. Now, inflation doesn't always necessarily a bad thing, but your money's not as valuable as it was a couple years ago. That's just a fact. $500,000 home in many of these, you know, certain states in the suburbs used to get you a lot more than it's getting you currently. And back in the day, when I was growing up, running backs were drafted one overall. You used to draft running backs number one overall. Well, times have changed. Quarterbacks became more important. Defense is harder to play. Like, you're not going to build an 85 Bears defense anymore. So the quarterback play, and then the recent picks of guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have inflated the value and the urgency of these teams to acquire those players. Because in the history of the league, no one ever would have traded multiple first rounder picks on top of pick 12 to get to pick 3 well before the draft. That's unheard of. It's literally unprecedented. And I think a huge reason that that happens is because of Josh Allen and definitely Patrick Mahomes. But here's a reality that when you make a big time buy, like what's so great for the Chiefs and the Bills about Josh Allen and about Patrick Mahomes, they weren't really desperate when they made those moves. The Chiefs only gave up one first round pick. So did the Bills. They got Josh Allen at 7. He was the third quarterback in that draft. Patrick Mahomes was the second quarterback off the board, but he went later than Josh Allen did at 10. They operated from a position of strength. When you know, in football, unlike if I'm super rich and have an unlimited amount of money, it's like being in California is great for rich people. Because to get a sweet house on the fucking water in Malibu costs $5 million. You know what doesn't matter much to rich people? $5 million. You know, most people don't have $5 million. So these exclusive neighborhoods on the coast, like there's only a select percentage of people that can move into those neighborhoods. It's different in the draft, right? If you're willing to give up a shitload of draft picks, you can kind of make a trade with anybody. Eventually, Khalil Mack, Jamal Adams, Jalen Ramsey, those guys, if you're willing to give up 2 ones and a 2, you can have those players. If you're willing to give up multiple first-rounders on top of your first-rounder, you can trade up to 3. But that does not change. And this quote, I thought, was perfect. Because to me, this sums up this draft. I think there is more hope than talent, an AFC scout said. People are so desperate for these guys. I don't see a Mahomes. I don't see a Manning. I don't see an Aaron Rodgers. And I think part of what Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have created is this desperation where everyone in the business world that I've ever read about that's successful, met that was successful, they always say the best deals they ever make are not out of desperation. And I think as you see all these, the Niners have already made the move. They made it out of desperation. Now, their pushback, and it's true that they wanted to control their own destiny. They thought a guy was worthy of picking, whether it's Mac Jones, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance, was worth making the trade a month and a half ago. And they paid a premium to get up early. And they had the assets, right? They had the first round pick, so they did it. But that doesn't necessarily, just because you do it, doesn't mean it's going to work. Once upon a time, the Jets did something similar. They went from 6 to 3 and ended up with Sam Darnold. He's no longer on the team. Now, obviously, a major difference in this situation with Kyle Shanahan is they have Kyle Shanahan. So you feel much better about paying a premium for a quarterback when your coach is a quarterback-centric guy and his offense is quarterback-friendly and you have a lot of talent on your roster. But I just think this quarterback class as a whole, history would tell us there are 5 guys. Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media a little bit earlier, and he, one thing he's pretty good at when he talks to the media, he's very candid. He's very open. He tells the truth about stuff. And he said he thought there were 5 starting quarterbacks of this group. I don't think he's making that up. I think he believes if he got one of these 5 guys, like if you gave him any of the 5 guys, he could probably win some games. Whether that's Trevor Lawrence, whether that's Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, whoever. Obviously, he's not going to have the ability to pick the first 2 guys. But the point is, as a quarterback guy, he's high on all 5 guys. And I think all 5 guys have talent. But quarterback, unlike defensive line, I remember I told Colin this a couple weeks ago. Like, I could be Nick Bosa or Khalil Mack's defensive line coach, and they're going to dominate. They are unstoppable force in a position that's hard to screw up the scheme. If you're a great pass rusher, you're going to be good. But quarterback is very, very dependent on everything around him that he can't control. The offensive line, the play calling, his weapons, his head coach, the way the team's built. Quarterback has no control over any of that. And 2 of these quarterbacks are going to be good, history would say. Because if all 5 become 5 starting quarterbacks, like legitimate starting quarterbacks, it's the greatest draft in the history of the NFL. And the likelihood of that happening is slim to none. So more than likely, two of these quarterbacks are going to be good. One of them is going to be a royal bust, and the other two are just going to be like Mitch Trubisky's. That's usually the way it works. Like the Mahomes, Watson, Trubisky draft, not normal. Two of the three of the guys were sweet. One of them's an all-time great. Watson was trending that way until the massage therapist, you know, he couldn't stop DMing him. And now who knows where his career goes. But Mitch is a backup, Mahomes a star, and Watson is a star. That's not normal. You know what most drafts are? You know, you get one good player, the other three guys are bad. And a lot of that is because when you get drafted high, you usually go to shitty teams. Like, say what you want about the Jags. I'm high on Urban Meyer just because he's been great everywhere he's ever been. He's never coached in the NFL. There's a decent chance the Jags stink. Why? They always stink. Urban Meyer's making this transition that we know is hard. Nick Saban failed. And Nick Saban had already worked in the NFL. And when I say failed, I mean his record was basically 500. Chip Kelly had no shot. I mean, Harbaugh was successful. Pete Carroll, I mean, it's just very hit or miss. But those guys all had NFL experience. Pete Carroll was an NFL coach who went to college, right? I think Chip Kelly's the best example. College guy, went to the NFL and was overwhelmed eventually. Obviously, I think Urban is much better than Chip Kelly, but my point is, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a difficult transition. Zach Wilson, if he goes to the Jets, Robert Saleh's never been a head coach in the league. Just as recent as 2 years ago, no one in a million years would have hired Robert Saleh to be their head coach. Now, he's earned it, had a great 2 years with the Niners, became a head coach. But there's no guarantee. He's a defensive guy, too. Then you get whoever else takes these guys, like beside the Niners, it's probably situations that, okay, let's say Denver gets a quarterback. They have a coach who's basically, this is last year, he wasn't the handpicked guy from the general manager. The Patriots situation, the guy might not even play. How much longer is Belichick going to get? And that assumes that the Patriots get him. If, let's say, Atlanta takes a quarterback. Well, I mean, Arthur Smith's a great play caller as an offensive coordinator. I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach. My point is there are just a lot of question marks. And I think we're talking about these players as if it's just in concrete they're going to be good. If it's can't miss. It's like, you know, you want a house in Scottsdale, you want a house in L.A., you just, it's up, up, up. It only goes up, up, up. Well, yeah, I mean, but are we sure there's not some crazy factors going on right now? I mean, we just printed $1 trillion. We got rates are really low. We just had a year where no one fucking worked. We shut down businesses. Like, who's to say in a year we have some crazy recession? But also, who's to say for the next 10 years it just booms? You never know. You're just projecting. You're hoping. You're making educated guesses. That's what the draft is. Because we talk about all these players. Zach Wilson, he's sweet. Trevor Lawrence can't miss. Whoever Kyle gets, he's going to be good. Oh, yeah. Kyle Pitts is awesome. Jalen Waddle's sweet. Oh, Devontae Smith dominates. Najee Harris going to be a baller. ETN, awesome. All the Penei Sewell, starting left tackle for a decade. That's not the way it works. We're in the human business here. And history would show us a lot of humans fail. I thought Josh Rosen, I was like, listen, I don't know if he's going to be a star, but he's not going to suck. He stinks. He stinks. He's been on a practice squad for 2 years. He was a 10th overall draft pick in 2018. Life comes at you fast. And in a league now where they're printing cash, a little bit like America, they move on faster from players. So the moment you suck, they just kind of get rid of you. Because they just move on. Even if your contract, we saw it this year with Carson Wentz. Like dead money, whatever, let's just move on. Just get to the next guy. So I think the quarterback inflation in this draft, and the way, I know I'm guilty, I just act, all these guys are going to be pretty good. And I like all the players. I have positive things to say. I think Trevor Lawrence, elite talent. Like he's a special number one overall pick. But there have been a lot of special number one overall picks that haven't lived up to the hype. Or that go to places that aren't stable. I think Zach Wilson looked awesome at BYU. But you're going to put him in New York and you just think everything's going to be smooth sailing? History would say that's not the case. Kyle Shanahan, what about whoever they draft? You'd say, well, the Niners are equipped. Think about the pressure that will be on that player, whether it's any of the big three guys, from the day that they put on a 49er uniform, especially when Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded. Hint, Jimmy Garoppolo will not be on the Niners when the weekend ends. And he shouldn't be. You draft a quarterback in 2020, you play him. This ain't 1987. There's never been an easier landing spot in league history for quarterbacks to play right away. It's never been easier to play the quarterback position. It's never been easier to get open at wide receivers. This ain't 1991. You're not playing Parcells. You know, the defense dominating years are just over. It's an offensive league. And part of the most powerful thing in drafting a quarterback, especially high in the first round, is getting them on that rookie contract and playing them immediately. So I just think we need to be careful, and I'm as guilty as anyone. The Niners traded two extra ones to move up nine spots. That would never have happened 15 years ago, ever. To move up two ones, to move up to pick number three before the draft. But no one would have ever paid some of the prices that are being paid for homes right now. Things change. And some of them are going to work out, and some of them, I promise you, will not. Some of these houses will be getting short-selled, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years when guys go under. It's like some of these quarterbacks are going to be busts. So I just think we got to be careful. The hype machine has never been stronger, and I can't wait to watch it play out.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Okay, let's dive into a big trade / transaction that happened at the end of last week. And it was the Kansas City Chiefs trading for their new left tackle. And it worked out. Albert Breer did a really good job of describing the transaction. That basically it worked out when you factor in all the picks, the way it balanced it out. The Chiefs gave a first-round pick, but the Ravens gave them back a second-round pick. That is the equivalent of like giving them pick 44. So like the middle of the second-round pick for their future left tackle. And it makes sense. Orlando Brown, right tackle, makes $5 or $6 million less than a left tackle. Ronnie Stanley gets hurt. He plays left tackle. He's good at left tackle. He goes, I don't want to move back because I don't want to make less money. And as Howard Mudd, RIP, once told me in the Eagles' offices, when I said, I don't think this guy can play left tackle. He doesn't have the feet. Well, then he's like, well, then he can't play right tackle. I said, what do you mean? There's a big difference between left tackle and right tackle. He said, what the fuck are you talking about? And this guy had obviously coached with Peyton Manning for all those years, the offensive line coach for the Colts, said, we have Dwight Freeney on one end and Robert Mathis on the other. And then it really hit home as I started watching the Raiders when they drafted Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack only lined up over the right tackle. The Bosas. I mean, all these good pass rushers lined up over the right tackle. So it's like, oh, you got a great left tackle. Well, your right tackle has to block them all. Your right tackle, there's a reason Lane Johnson and Mitchell Schwartz, like, your right tackle better be good. Because it is a tough position to play, just like left tackle. Now, obviously, there is an added element with a right-handed quarterback. I can technically see when my right tackle whiffs. Ask any Niner quarterback with McGlinchey last year. You can see them coming. You can't see the blind side. But still, that guy is typically blocking a badass pass rusher. And ultimately, I think one thing the Chiefs have shown, and this has been a staple of Andy's career, and Brett Veach once famously said in the draft room, I got a lot of Al Davis in me. And I think that's why him and Andy just get along. They're aggressive by nature. And it's just a theme that's going to be on this podcast 24/7, 365 when I talk. Aggressive people win. Now, like I talked about earlier with the quarterback inflation, there's a difference between being aggressive and being desperate, being calculated, and being, you know, just taking a swing for the fences with your eyes closed. One thing the Chiefs have consistently shown, really since Andy got there, but since Mahomes began starting, they will do everything and anything to maintain winning. And I think in the last decade, you saw an organization get gifted. Now, when I say gifted, that's probably unfair because they drafted Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers lasted to pick 24. And I give the Packers credit for pulling the trigger. And I give them extra credit for telling Favre to kick rocks and going with Rodgers. And then less than a half year into his first year starting, they extended him. But by year two, he had won a Super Bowl. And it was clear that Aaron Rodgers was going to be a superstar. And what did the Packers never truly do? And maybe this is a product of them not having an owner. I don't know. I don't really know anyone that works there. I just know from the outside, like fans do, that obviously not having an owner, I think, limits some of the things they can do financially. But they never operated like they were desperate to keep winning Super Bowls. And you know what? It cost them. Because over the decade, they never went to another Super Bowl. up until this year, 2021, they had never hosted an NFC championship with the guy that's going to go down as probably a top five quarterback ever. Three MVPs in the peak of his powers. I think we all acknowledge if you're older, you say, hey man, Elway, Marino. In my age group, if you're in your mid-30s or younger, that's about as good as it gets. Like, that's why it's so crazy watching Mahomes do what it, because we don't see guys like Rodgers that often. And they just, I watched them. I watched Harbaugh team back-to-back years beat them in a playoff game. Once in San Francisco and another game in Green Bay. Because they were just missing a player or two. If they just would have been a little more aggressive in free agency. If they just would have swung for the fences. Because they were always right there. They were always like making noise in the playoffs, but they couldn't get over the hump. You know who's not into just making noise in the playoffs? The Chiefs. You know what they're in the business of? Getting back to the big dance every fucking year. And they'll do whatever it takes. Because it's also simple, like, what is the 31st pick to them when you're desperate for offensive linemen? And you just saw in that Super Bowl when their offensive linemen were hurt, they got worked. Because typically, in the biggest game, if you have a great defensive line, you can make noise. And if you have a great defensive line and the offensive line struggling, you're going to win. Ask Tom Coughlin. Ask Bruce Arians last year. Hell, the Niners almost got the Chiefs the year before when they had Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. So the Chiefs said, you know what? If it's the equivalent of pick 45, here you go. Give us a left tackle. You know why? We need one. Because our goal isn't to win 10, 11 games or win the NFC West again. We win the NFC West every year. Our goal is to win championships. We have this window with an all-time great player. What's it take? What do we have to do to surround this guy with the best opportunity to win the Super Bowl every single year? The Packers blew their opportunity. Now, they had great success. They won a ton of games. They were going to the playoffs every year. But when you have this all-time great player, the goal should be to win Super Bowls. Put all your chips in the middle of the table. The Niners with Eddie DeBartolo did it in the 80s. Jerry Jones did it in the 90s. Robert Kraft has done it over the last couple decades with Belichick and Tom Brady. And now the Chiefs are doing it. And it works in every walk of life. Whether you're Elon Musk, whether you're Jeff Bezos, whether you're the dude dominating with, you know, multiple restaurants. Being aggressive is always the way to be. Again, calculated, not just to do things haphazardly, but when you look at some of the moves they've made, they got rid of Dee Ford for Frank Clark. They cut their tackles to go after Trent Williams. They came up short. Well, they didn't just wave the white flag and be like, oh, we'll see who we can get in the draft. They said, no, Orlando Brown, what will it cost? We want the player. Now, I'd say this, and I'm sure they'd admit this. I haven't talked to anyone in Kansas City. They benefited. Last year, ton of tackles went in the draft, right? Four or five tackles went in the top 15 picks. This year, three or four tackles are going to go in the first round. So the tackle market, the influx of young talent, helped make the market more, you know, gettable for the Chiefs, right? Because some years a team might have been willing to just, hey, man, we'll just give you pick 25 for Orlando Brown. That wasn't the case. They were the most aggressive team. And usually with offensive linemen, there are several aggressive, you know, players. But they weren't bidding against anyone else. Just like they didn't just have to give up pick 31. They got back a second-round pick. Now they got two second-round picks. Which for them, like, at pick 31... Scott Fitterer, the Carolina Panthers GM, said the other day, he's like, we have 16 first-rounders on our board. Seattle, notoriously, where he comes from every year, says like between 15 and 18 first-rounders. The overwhelming majority of teams do not have 32 first-rounders on their board. So when you win every year, and I saw this on social media, like Brett Veach has missed on some middle-round picks. His goal is to not hit on fifth and sixth-rounders. Their goal with the Chiefs is to win Super Bowls. And you know what is also a lot harder to do? And you see this with good teams. It's hard for your mid and late round picks to make the team. You know why? You're literally the best team. You know what team it's going to be harder to make as a mid and late rounder this year? Tampa Bay. Like the likelihood of all Jason Light, who has dominated the draft the last couple years. I bet a lot of his draft picks get cut and go on the practice squad. Why? Because their team is loaded. Them and the Chiefs, best teams in the league. It's hard to make the New Orleans Saints the last 5 years as a six-rounder. The better your team is, the less draft picks are just going to make your team. It should be more difficult. That's the way it works. But ultimately, I have nothing but admiration for these teams that do everything humanly possible to sustain and maintain winning when they have a star quarterback. The Bills did it last year with Diggs. Hey, man, we'll give you pick 22. Give us a star wide receiver. Boom! In the AFC Championship. It was really... Obviously, there was more to it. But a major reason they were in the AFC Championship because Josh Allen got dramatically better and Stephon Diggs was a top two or three wide receiver in the league last year. They gave pick 22. Too many times, you know, we don't want to give this pick. Yeah, we don't want to do this. Again, I'm not into just giving an unlimited amount of picks. But sometimes, like, you think the Rams regret giving picks for Jalen Ramsey? You think Seattle, their second, third best player last year was Jamal Adams. And he only played in, 70% of the games. They don't regret that. And he can't really even cover. But when he's on the field, he's their best pass rusher. He makes every tackle. He's an absolute ass kicker. So it's like, you can get good players. Be aggressive when you're a playoff team. Because, like, no one's going to... People on social media care about you hitting on fifth-round picks. Or like, you missed on the second-round pick. You win 10, 11, 12, 13 games. You host playoff games. That's the goal. That's what the owner wants. That's how you keep your job. And that's how you keep winning. Mock draft time. We're going to dive in. I'm going to give my mock draft for the top 10. For the Giants fans, the Eagles fans, I think you guys will get good players. I'll react to that the next podcast, who everyone drafts. But today, just a top 10 mock draft. Let's start. The Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars. It's very rare in this modern day game where we see a guy as a freshman at quarterback. It happened with Hackenberg. It happened with Matt Barkley. Hell, it happened with Mariota. They typically don't hold on to that top spot. Sometimes that, like, Barkley falls in the mid rounds. Sometimes, like Mariota, they just get passed, right? Sometimes, like Hackenberg, they just end up sucking and going in the second round. Trevor Lawrence became the number one pick his freshman year. Remember, they had that one dude that had a transfer who'd been sitting behind Deshaun Watson. They're like, yeah, we're going with the young cat. He won the national championship, the rest is history. He's a big-time prospect. He's tall. He's got a big arm. He's accurate. He can run. High character. He's the number one pick. No-brainer. Easiest number one pick in a long time. I mean, it really is. He is a legitimate high-end prospect. Where I think we can nitpick the other guys, he is a high-end prospect. He has all the tools you look for in a prospect. Doesn't mean he's going to be great. Doesn't mean he's going to be Andrew Luck or Elway or anything. But he has the talent. Now it's on Urban Meyer to be a good NFL coach. It's on Trent Baalke to be a good drafter. Their division stuff. The Colts are good. The Titans are good. Houston probably sucks. But the AFC's good. I mean, the AFC North is legit. The NFC East, or the AFC East, I mean, the Dolphins and obviously the Bills are good. Chiefs are loaded. Chargers are on the come. Raiders are solid. So it's a very, very difficult conference. Can't wait to watch him play. But he's been the number one pick now for 3 years. The number two pick, which to me, this is more normal now. I didn't know who Zach Wilson was a year ago. Swear to God. I hadn't really watched BYU. I wasn't paying attention. No clue. Guess what? Most people didn't know. I would imagine most people listening didn't know who Zach Wilson was. I watched him play this year. He's pretty special. I think this pick's very, very risky. To me, he reminds me a lot of Derek Carr in college when he was at Fresno State. Derek Carr was a second-round pick. This guy's going number two overall to a first-time head coach. He is talented. He can scramble. He's bigger than we thought. He's got a good arm. Not great, but a good arm. He's accurate. Against his competition. Well, now he's playing the Bills, Belichick, and the Miami Dolphins. Buckle up, kid. It's about to get real. The pressure in New York, no joke. I would say beside the Yankees, I don't know if any individual is going to feel more pressure than just Saleh, Zach, and Joe Douglas this year. People are going to want to see something. I don't feel great about this pick, but... It sure feels this is the way it's going, and he's been the number one or the number two overall pick, really the number one overall pick in this draft, because Trevor Lawrence has been the the foregone conclusion to go number one. So it basically was like, where's the draft going to start at two? And it turns out it's going to be Zach Wilson. The 49ers. I said this on the YouTube live stream today. I heard from a source who has been nails on everything he's told me over the last year that Justin Fields isn't still in the mix, that he's going to be the pick. Now, I don't quite understand why the Niners have messed with everyone. I kind of like it. I appreciate them if they've been lying, playing the media like a fiddle. They're an easy mark. I'm going Justin Fields here. And you say, Middlecoff, what about Rapshi's tweet? It was down to two. I'm going Justin Fields here. I'm not trying to be like counterculture and trying to be right. I'm just telling you, this is what I heard. I've never thought it was Mac Jones. I think Trey Lance is, I'm just going Justin Fields. I'm going Justin Fields here. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, I want the most physically gifted guy in this draft. And then I mold him and I create greatness. That's what I'm thinking. And Justin Fields, to me, if his comp, he's like a more accurate Donovan McNabb. You know how much Andy Reid won with Donovan McNabb, who had flaws? Fields better. Faster. Bigger. You know, Donovan had a huge arm. So, I mean, this guy's got a big arm too, but he's more accurate. Can you imagine what Kyle could do with Justin Fields? I think they take a swing for the fences. Everyone goes, holy shit, when this pick's made. Atlanta, number four. As we saw today, Julio Jones is going to get traded. Probably within the next month. I would struggle to trade like a second-round pick for a guy that's 32 years old, a guy that's battled a lot of injuries, a guy that makes a lot of money. But I think he's good as gone. And they basically build around Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. I think you just can't pass on a physical difference maker like this when you're getting rid of Julio. And you're not going to take a quarterback. I think Arthur Smith still believes he can win some games with Matt Ryan, give it like a two-year run, and then kind of take inventory in like 2023. They still have a talented team. They need the defense to be better. Add Kyle Pitts to go with Ridley. All of a sudden, you got something. Cooking with gas. The Bengals. This is a tough decision. But I think at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, and you need to get your quarterback help, if you need offensive line and you need a wide receiver, you always lean the offensive line first. Recent history would show us, I can get sweet wide receivers in the second and third round. There aren't great left tackles in the second and third round. That's not the way it works. I think they take Penei Sewell right here. Bengals, Penei Sewell. So Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Pitts, Sewell, 1-5. The Miami Dolphins. They have another first-round pick. I think part of getting in the top six, obviously Tua needs help. I can get him a skill guy at the, you know, with my next pick. Whatever their pick is, like 18, 19. They missed the playoffs, but they won 10 games. So I'm using this pick on an offensive lineman. They drafted the kid from Jackson from USC last year. I draft Rashawn Slater this year, who sat out, who some believe is the top tackle. Boom, I got my left and right tackle. Now I can protect Tua. I get him a skill guy. I got a ton of picks. I keep drafting skill guys. But up top, I need big heavies. You win in this league in the trenches. Look at the Super Bowl. What do you think Andy Reid would have done for Rashawn Slater? Who do you think he'd take? Who do you think the Bucks would take? How do you think Wirfs worked out for them? Rashawn Slater, number six. Not sexy, because receivers are always sexy. Well, what about DK Metcalf? What about AJ Brown? Get those guys in the second round. The Lions, they're open for business because they got six-year contracts. It's a complete teardown, complete gut job. I think the Patriots sniffing around. I think they trade up to number seven here, knowing that the Panthers and the Broncos could be in the quarterback market. I think the reason, we'll get into the Panthers here in a second, I think the Patriots trade up and they take Trey Lance. They take kind of a developmental swing for the fences. They try to get their Josh Allen, their Patrick Mahomes. Belichick takes his one big swing with the Lions, trade 15-7, whatever else it takes. Maybe next year's first, maybe a couple twos. I'm not exactly sure. The Carolina Panthers. I think they would have been open to taking Trey Lance there, but he's off the board. Justin Fields off the board. Obviously, Wilson and Lawrence are off the board. I think you go, well, Sam Darnold, we got DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey coming back. Both the offensive tackles are off the board. Let's take a sweet wide receiver. This guy fell to us at 8. Last year, in a historically great wide receiver draft, this player was viewed as the best of the bunch. We saw how good all those guys were. CeeDee Lamb looks awesome. Justin Jefferson setting records. Ayuk looks sweet. T. Higgins looks awesome. I mean, I'm missing guys. Judy made some plays. Ruggs can fly. He just needs to figure out how to run some routes. I think they go Ja'Marr Chase here. Now you got Ja'Marr Chase. You got DJ Moore. You got Sam Darnold. And you got Christian McCaffrey with Joe Brady. Are we sure the Panthers couldn't be an explosive offense next year? Love this pick. Don't like it? Love it. The Denver Broncos. They are no longer run by John Elway, the greatest player in the history of the franchise. A guy that helped, was a huge part of landing Peyton Manning, which led them to go to 2 Super Bowls and win one. They're led by General Patton, also known as George Payton, who was kind of like, he had become the Chris Ballard, the number one, number two in the league that teams wanted to make their general manager. Well, he had spent all these years in Minnesota. What did he just have a front row seat on? Kirk Cousins. And he saw the last couple years, Kirk Cousins won them a playoff game last year. Kirk Cousins this year had the best season of his career. The problem was the defense. You can win with guys like Kirk Cousins. You don't need these big arm guys. Ideally, I'd rather have a big arm guy. But my point is, he had a front row seat in watching success happen with Kirk Cousins. I think they take Mac Jones at number 9. So that would mean all 5 quarterbacks are gone by pick 9 in the Middlecoff mock draft. And basically, Drew Lock, you just kind of let them compete. May the best man win. I mean, who cares? The team's not any good anyway. You might as well just take a swing. And then number 10, the Dallas Cowboys. I think they go a lot of different directions. I'll go corner here. If there was a great pass rusher in this draft, one, he'd probably already be off the board. But if there was one left on the board, I think they would go that way. I think they just go solid, steady, try to hit just a stand-up double. Right? You don't even need to slide. At worst, it's a double. Maybe you can stretch it to a triple, and that's Patrick Surtain. You go to Alabama. You go to the program with the best players. You go to the program that's been producing the best pros the last 3 or 4 years, and you take one of their best players. He's not the sexiest player, but he's good. And no team just needs good on defense more than the Cowboys. Last year, they were just, I mean, an open wound. You could just run right through them. It was like parting the Red Seas every single game. It was an embarrassment. It really was. Well, they hired Dan Quinn. Where does Dan Quinn come from? The Seattle mindset. What is Seattle like? Big corners. What's Patrick Surtain? A big corner. As a buddy in the SEC told me, pro, just a dude. You just don't overthink this one. He's good. Love this pick for the Cowboys. So I got Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, Fields 3, Pitts 4, Sewell 5, Rashawn Slater, a little bit of a shocker, number 6. Lions doing a little deal with Belichick and the Patriots. They take Trey Lance. The Panthers get Ja'Marr Chase from the heavens, lands in their lap. Denver Broncos go Michael McCorkle Jones, also known as Mac. And the Dallas Cowboys get a star corner, one they desperately need in Patrick Surtain. That's my mock draft. Okay, let's dive into the Middlecoff mailbag. At John Middlecoff is my Instagram handle. You slide up into the DMs and you get right here on the podcast. Also throw it up on YouTube. Pretty easy. Very easy. No easier way to get a hold. You don't have to even, you know, in radio, you got to call in. This, you just fucking text. Boom, you're on the show. Does not get any easier. Let's start with Boogie. Boogie Jones is the Instagram name. Love the pod. Didn't you say that someone who feeds you info that you trust say the 49ers are picking Fields? I did. And I've red flagged this whole situation. I followed the Niners as closely as possible for about a decade. I mean, I've been around them my whole life, but do it for a living for the last 7-8 years. But definitely this Kyle John regime, and they have not been a leaky regime. They have not been a regime to let the media know. What I've been told and what I'm thinking, and just an educated guess, is they played the media like a fiddle. Why? Because the media is there to be played, especially around this time of year. And if it is Field, I'll be completely, I've said this on my other podcast, I just don't know how you'd trust anything that's ever said around draft time ever again. It would be hard to trust. if Justin Fields is the pick. Especially because the NFL Network and Rap Sheet, I like Rap Sheet. And plus, he knows what he's talking about, but just said that it's between Trey Lance and Mac Jones. We're going to see. I'm not a reporter. I'm not reporting this. I'm just saying, like, I've had my spidey senses up. I've had this red flag. It's felt weird from the jump. And listen, I think Kyle Shanahan would like Mac Jones. Do you trade two first-rounders for Mac Jones on top of pick 12 and a third-round pick? Under no circumstances. I'll never believe. And I was texting with someone, not the source, but just someone with the 49ers, and they were like, you know, I think sometimes people get over-caught up in the compensation. When you want a quarterback, don't get caught up what it costs to get the guy, because if you believe in the guy, why does it matter? Which is true, but part of making the decision to acquire the player is what you spend for him, so if it doesn't work, it's not that big a deal. We're in the human business here. Not all these humans are going to work out, even when Kyle Shanahan's your coach. So if they get Mac Jones, even if he loves Mac Jones, I'll understand I get Kyle Shanahan liking Mac Jones. What I'll never understand if they do select Mac Jones is the price they paid to acquire the player. You pay that price for elite physical attributes. This is a marketplace. This is not an emotional place. The best drafters are not emotional. Zero emotion. This is all about paying the proper price for the draft slot. And it'll be the amount, like, and Kyle said today that the Jamal Adams and that, you know, Jalen Ramsey, two guys in the division that were traded for multiple first round picks. Here's my thing, Kyle. Like, I get what you're saying. Those guys were established players. So when I trade two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey and a second, I know I'm getting a Pro Bowler. It doesn't work the same in the draft. There's a large amount of unknowns. Even if you're taking any of these guys, Trevor Lawrence included. So, I'm ready for the draft. Just finished the interview with DHB. Great listen. I never paid much attention to him as a player, but listening to his insight on the game was fantastic. Why is he not on TV instead of some other knuckleheads out there is beyond me? I agree. You know, I've talked to Carson Palmer. I remember talking to Carson Palmer thinking, this guy should call games. Now, he's so rich, I don't blame him. Why would he want to? But he is dramatically better than everyone else. DHB, I mean, I don't watch NFL Network that much because most of the players on there just are awful. It's not a good watch. Love the show. Big Seattle Seahawks fan from Roman. I am wondering what they need to do to get back to the Super Bowl. Well, clearly Russell's good enough, I think, is their defense. Can their defense be a top 10 defense? If it is, they'll be in pretty good shape. If it's not, we're going to have some problems. To me, it's really that simple. Offensively, they're always going to have a shot. But when you can't consistently rush the passer, you got problems. The best teams in the playoffs have elite pass rushers. When Seattle was kicking everyone's ass early on in Russell's career, defensive line, elite. Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill. They had multiple guys who were just dominant up front. And obviously Wagner and Cam, KJ and Sherman. I mean, their defense was dominant. Number one scoring defense in the league three straight years. So they just have to improve on defense. On the next podcast, could you compare the 2018 draft class to this one for quarterbacks? I see a lot of similarities between Baker, Wilson, Allen, Lance, Lamar, Fields. Which class grades better pre-draft? Does this class have a chance to be better? Well, there was no Trevor Lawrence in that class. In no world, including the one we live in, assuming there are aliens, maybe they live in a different world, would Trevor Lawrence not go number one in that draft? Trevor Lawrence is the best player in both drafts, coming out of college. Josh Allen is a better prospect than Trey Lance. Justin Fields is better prospect than Lamar Jackson. Now, I don't know if Justin Fields is going to be as good as Lamar Jackson, and the chance that Trey Lance ever gets close to being Josh Allen is slim to none. Josh Rosen, complete bust. I think Mac Jones is better than Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen was like, I mean, kind of a problem, you know, in terms of his attitude and some of that stuff. He was a disaster. I'd say this class is more talented top to bottom. Now, that class has produced an MVP of the league in Lamar Jackson, a quarterback who probably will win an MVP in Josh Allen, and who just took his team to the AFC Championship game. And Baker's really resurrected his career. Sam Darnold, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you get the grade on your paper that says TBD, I guess it's not TBD, but unfinished or incomplete, INC. I got some of those over my years in high school, INCs. To me, Sam Darnold's incomplete. I would say that this, if this draft class is as good as that draft class, you're in pretty good shape. MVP of the league, AFC championship level quarterback, another guy got his fifth-year option who won a playoff game this year. So three out of their five guys are good. And the fourth, Sam Darnold, I think a lot of people think he just went for a second-round pick. So his career by any means isn't over. But coming out of college, I'd say this draft is better. When you factor in Lawrence, I think Fields is a big-time prospect. I think Trey Lance is a big-time prospect. It's a good question. Love the pod. Question for the mailbag. If a team has a back-to-back draft picks in the same round, is there any significance to which player would be taken with the first pick versus the second one? Thanks. I think it would depend on if you were open to trading the second pick, you would take the guy graded above them. So if you have two guys that you're willing to take back-to-back picks, you would take the better player first because maybe someone calls and offers you a lot for the second pick. So I think you just simply go with the top player and then, you know, maybe someone calls you, right? I think it's just that simple. If no one's going to call you, I don't know if there is any significance, no. But I think that would be the safe way to do it because you never know when your phone's going to ring. So you just take the first player who you think's the best, and then you just know who you would take with the second player, second pick, but you leave it open-ended to maybe you get a phone call. That would be my mindset. That'd be a good question for like a GM, actually, that have ever been in that situation. Okay, appreciate everyone listening. Enjoy the week. Game plan is to be on YouTube. I'm going to be on YouTube a lot. Thursday, Friday, Saturday on the Haberman Middlecoff channel. I think I'm going to have a podcast for sure Saturday for the weekend. Maybe do a little one Friday. Not sure. But we're going to have a lot of content coming. A lot of content. Be ready. Subscribe to the Three and Out podcast separate from Collins. And enjoy this week. Your team's going to get new players. And it's fun. It's like being a kid in Christmas if you're a football fan. If you're a college fan, your players get to go to the league. Best of both worlds. It's fucking love the draft. Enjoy the week. See you guys soon. Peace.